tasty.
Hello, everyone. Just a quick take from me. I'm feeling marginally better today. Shortly after I published my video yesterday, quite a bit later on, Trump gave quite a bizarre press conference. Before that, he signaled that he wants an end to the war and said that, the war is very complete, in his words. And then later on, he gave a bizarre, rambling, incoherent, quite dangerously insane speech in which he violated the logical, one of the fundamental laws of logic, which is the law of non-contradiction. He wanted to say at once that the war was very complete, but also that it, they're going to continue it. Very confusing and contradictory messaging coming out of the US admin. And I'm going to explain what I think is happening, both from the US point of view and from the Iranian point of view, because I have no idea what sort of news people are watching. I am just simply letting the information come in and forming my own opinions, unfiltered by anybody else. Before we get going here, I must remind people my little talk on Foundations of Shakespeare is happening tomorrow in London. Those of you who are going to be there, look forward to it. But you can buy this now. It is officially out on March the 18th. I don't know how many copies of the first run are left. Buy it now. If you buy the course, Foundations of Shakespeare, which is one of the best courses I've ever put out, there's literally years worth of kind of my study and knowledge in this book and in that course. But if you pick up the course and send the receipt to the publisher, you'll get this book for 50% off and a wonderful, lovely tome it is too. Many other courses are available, of course. Okay, so let's get on to what I think is happening here. I'm not going to play the speech. I'm going to try to keep this kind of quick and dirty video. I'll talk more about it on office hours a little bit later on today. But so Trump appeared to announce, victory, Pyrrhic victory, obviously. I mean, everybody can see that. But, he's trying to find an off-ramp, trying to find a way out of the war. Claimed, it's very complete, then gave this completely all over the place. I have never seen Trump as he's always rambled a bit and so on, but it seems like he's gone. I mean, it's like there are four or five shocking moments in that speech where, at one point he says, people are walking around with their legs blown off. Right. I mean, that's one of the funnier ones. But I mean, some of the other things he says in that speech are absolutely bonkers. What is happening? What was Trump up to? I think that his announcement of the complete victory was designed entirely to calm the markets. And that did have an effect. The price of oil came down. Some of the markets rebounded after he made those comments. But then after he gave the speech and after it was clear that the war wasn't ending, all of those recoveries that happened in the short term have now, as far as I've seen, been undone. Like, the markets aren't stupid, okay? And this is he can play this game in the short term, but in the long term, the markets will wise up to it. I will say, though, I must caveat that my buddy Black Horse, who's, close to the city, who knows finance, he did send me a message saying, look, everybody knew already before Trump said anything, before he announced the ceasefire, or tried to announce a victory, before he gave the speech, everybody in the city already knew, okay, and there's some information that has been non-disclosed, okay, so what that was is anybody's guess. I have some ideas about what it could be, because Iran, who have been, to be clear, Iran have come out repeatedly and said, this war will end when we say it will. We do not wish to negotiate. We don't want to talk to the Americans at all. because the last two or three times you sneak attacked us, right, in the middle of negotiations. Don't forget, they killed the Ayatollah in the middle of negotiations. They started the sneak attack back in the 12-day war, right? They sneak attacked during negotiations. So that basically means that Iran is not open to talk. There was a very good tweet that somebody put out. I can't remember who it was, but it had many, many thousands of likes, saying it's a little bit like in Sid Meier's Civilization, when you start war with someone, then you want to end the war and they won't even talk to you. That's basically where Iran is at the moment. And I'll say a little bit more because I've been having a look at what they've been saying in their own messaging, on their own press, in their own, you know, on their appearances on television in English, but also what they're writing in Farsi and so on as well. I've been having a look and I've got some ideas about where the kind of mind, where their aims are at the moment. But from the US side, it's clear that the war has gone badly. It's clear that they're seeking an off-ramp. It's clear that they're trying to cut and run because the system, the global system, cannot take the strain and the damage of this for much longer. And Trump, being a boomer, you know, he's saying it's not very popular. It's seeing it's affecting oil prices. It's seeing it's causing all sorts of troubles for it, headache and trouble for him. You know, he is trying to find a way to weasel out of this, okay? But the problem is that they're in already. They've started this war. As Morrissey once sang, I started something I couldn't finish. And maybe that was what Netanyahu was counting on because, you know, once you've, you can't close Pandora's box once you've opened it, Donald. And that's the why he's kind of in a panic and why he's totally incoherent at the moment. But I also think he was doing something else in that speech. He very pointedly, during it, said, well, I did this because of stuff that, and then he said, because of counsel I was given by Jared Kushner, Pete Hegseth, and Steve Witkoff. He named those three people. Basically, he told the American people that he took a decision because of stuff that Jared Kushner told him, Steve Witkoff told him, and Pete Hegseth told him. What that sounded like to me was basically setting up some sort of possible trial down the line. I mean, I'm convinced that the stuff about the school and the kind of unconstrained war crime nature of all of this is going to land Pete Hegseth in jail one day. I truly believe that he will be the fall guy, that Pete Hegseth is going to be set up and it's going to be made an example. It's going to be like, you know, they'll say, well, look at this kind of white supremacist, Christian nationalist nutcase, chud. Okay. We let it into office and look at what he did. Something like this. I think that they'll probably make Pete Hegseth the fall guy for the scapegoat, if you want to put it in those terms. Trump is clearly setting up to try to absolve the blame for terrible decisions on these patsies, on Witkoff, on Kushner, on Hegseth. It was so pointed that that was really the only takeaway from the speech, which was otherwise incoherent and rambling. The bottom line is that it's simply not within the purview of America's choices to just cut and run in this way, unless they're going to completely abandon the Middle East and leave Israel to its fate. That's basically the bottom line. Because looking at the Iranian messaging, they've been saying things like, we don't want a ceasefire. We don't want to talk to you. We're going to see this war through to the end. We're ready for a ground invasion. And if it takes 10 years, it takes 10 years. This is what they're saying in Iran, okay? And if you have a look at their messaging, you know, it's being cast as like, well, all they need to do is survive. But they actually have their own aims beyond this, okay? Aims set down by the Ayatollah, the original Ayatollah in 1979, and then, cast in stone by the late Khamenei, who's just died. And the plan is basically this, that what they want to do is they want to expel American influence in the region. They want to basically kick America out of all of the Gulf states, kick, you know, make sure they have no bases there, and basically Yankee go home. Now, the problem with that plan, of course, is that Israel is there, and Israel is the ostensible reason for all these other bases being there. So what is their plan vis-a-vis Israel? Well, I think they're maximalist. I mean, everybody thinks that the Iranian regime just has, it's just about survival and just about like keeping Iran together. Actually, they've always had these, you've got to remember, these people are fanatics. Okay, they're revolutionary religious fanatics. And they have a long-term goal of freeing Palestine. Okay, that is, they want to inflict so much pain and so much damage on the Israelis, not only to teach them a lesson, an eye for an eye and all of that, but to create conditions for the Gaza, the West Bank, Hezbollah, Houthis, possibly even, okay, and this is just speculation on my part, the huge Palestinian population that's in Jordan. Now, this may sound fantastical, okay, but if I had told you 12 days previous that Iran would have hit 15 countries in one day, that it would have been bullying the King of Bahrain and the House of Saud and all of these kind of little puppet regimes in the region, and bringing them quickly to make statements that they don't want to, you know, that they basically want to keep out of this war. And you know, there's been a lot of cuckery from the Gulf states. People have got this idea that these states are just in the pocket of Israel. But this is a static analysis, and this is a dynamic situation. Okay, what Iran has done is it's trying to exert its own influence in the region, and it's also pressing the reality to all of these little leaders. Look, if you side with the US, if you keep on siding with Israel, you know, forget about your Abraham Accords and your plans and your great, like, forget about whatever the shit was you were talking about before. Things have changed here. And if you want to stay in this region, if you want to stay as the king of this country or the king of that country, okay, you're going to have to. And what's been interesting is I've been watching the statements of all of these regimes, and they have not, and they cannot unequivocally come out on the side of Israel or on the US. And not one of them have publicly come out against Iran. This is a very significant development in the region. What Iran is doing, you might say, is a reverse Abraham Accords. They're saying, look, they thought that they could be the bully beef in this region. Israel did, with their money and their bribes and all of this. We are asserting the reality of the situation. You're not in the Judeo-Christian West now. You're in the Muslim world here. This is what Iran is saying in a nutshell. And this is ultimately what the war is over. It is America going to be able to maintain its presence in the Middle East? Iran wants to kick them out. And Iran also wants to inflict so much pain on Israel that whatever their plans are, they're going to go out the window too. Now, from Iran's point of view, where they've already had school bombed, war crimes are being committed against them. There's been ongoing bombing campaigns. Israel's targeting their energy. Right, this is total war, and this is what I think that people in the West do not understand: that Iran is on a total war footing, and its aims are maximalist. The expulsion of America from the Middle East and an end to the shenanigans of Netanyahu. That's what they want. Are they going to be able to achieve it? Well, who knows? But that's what they're up against here. So Trump, you know, he's like, oh, how come Iran hasn't given in already? You know, how come it hasn't panned out like the Venezuela thing? How come they're digging in? You know, like during this whole thing, he was, you know, almost like wondering out loud to himself how comes it hasn't gone the way he planned. And now he's freaking out, of course, because basically he's been given bad advice. He ignored the advice of the 18 intelligence agencies. Now, Larry Johnson has a take, which I thought was interesting. I thought this was interesting. My thought was that this whole thing does not have, you know, what you might say, regime approval. But Larry Johnson's take was like, look, this is the CIA and all of the other intelligence agencies covering their asses, basically, you know, and you can see that the British establishment just doesn't want to get involved in this. Lots of the kind of permanent bits of the deep state, they want to steer clear of this because they know their assessment is this could all go badly wrong, right? Which means that, and, you know, people, there are lots and lots of people, left and right, making videos saying, like, this is a massive humiliation for America. Maybe, I mean, maybe that's what's happening. All I will say is that the war is not over, okay? It seemed like, I saw that Asmund Gold, right, the guy who, you know, in the space of 3 weeks went from weeping at a Rupert Lowe video to, you know, absolutely cheering on this war like a nutcase. I'm going to make, in office hours later on, actually, I'm going to look at the hidden influence network that this has exposed, the people that this whole war has exposed. That Asmund Gold is one of them. But anyway, let's continue. The point is, the war is not over, and it's still not clear where it can. I mean, Iran every single day is just hitting Israel with wave after wave after wave of these missiles, and it's not clear how many are being intercepted at all at this moment. As I'm recording this, they are finally moving THAADs from South Korea over, but they're doing that because the other THAADs have been destroyed. The radars in the area have been destroyed by Iran. And this is where you're getting people saying, like, America has been, is being dealt like severe blows and humiliations here, because neutral military analysts can see that this is happening. And it's been China that has been providing the satellite imagery to prove that all of this stuff is happening. And also the Russians and the Chinese helping with intelligence. This is being widely reported at the moment as well. That also reminds me, there was a call with Putin. Trump and Putin talked for an hour. I went to try to find the Kremlin readout of that call. There wasn't like an official one, but it was reported in the Russian press. So a call did take place. And basically nothing was discussed in that call at all, according to the Kremlin sources. You know, essentially all that happened was that Trump removed some sanctions on Russian oil so that, you know, in some ways, Putin is quids in. You know, they're going to sell more Russian oil and Russian gas. So it's a big Russian win. This is obvious, by the way. This is kind of foreign policy and with Western mainstream media take on it as well, that the Russians are just gaining from this situation because people are becoming more reliant on their energy. No shit, Sherlock. But the Ukraine war was not discussed at all. Absolutely no ceasefire was discussion at all when it comes to that. So, you know, Russia aren't going to end that war until they are satisfied. They're going to do it on their own terms. And now the American empire has opened up this separate front where now you have Iran, which also has, in my opinion, maximalist aims. And I don't see, you think it's Baghdad Bob, this is they're just fronting, they're just putting on a brave face. It is not that, trust me, it is not that. These people are dug in. These people will fight to the last man, you know, or they may even fight to the last Iranian. And you know, American dreams of creating a civil war or another Syria, that stuff isn't, it's just not going to happen because the situation is different. The nature of the regime is different, and the situation is different. The geographic situation and also the military capabilities of the situation are different. Okay. So, yeah, these are kind of, there's a lot of Western fantasies when it comes to analyzing the situation. And it's because, much like Donald Trump, people still think it's 1995. People still think, you know, they've got this belief in American invincibility and so on. Quite why they do, I don't know. I mean, I saw Marco Rubio, you know, saying, oh, I'm designating the Taliban as this, that, and the other, just reminding everybody of the last American disaster in the region. Okay. I mean, you know, so it's not even like the Americans have a particularly great track record with these things. And I have to say, it's been quite refreshing to see the British establishment quite loudly say, look, we know how this goes. We've learned from the Iraq War. And many politicians, Labour politicians, some even Tory politicians, have been coming out and saying, you know, all of those talking heads, they've been saying, oh, yeah, we're not going to take part in this. We're going to sit this one out. We're going to do what's best for Britain because we've learned. And Tony Blair actually tried to intervene and, you know, say Starmer's making a mistake by not, you know, being the poodle. And that's only helped Starmer. It's actually given a massive boost to Keir Starmer. And, you know, as I record this, Reform are U-turning because they realize how unpopular the position is. So that's a very interesting development in British politics. I'll talk more about that a little bit later on when I talk about the hidden network of influence that's behind all of this as well. Okay, I think that'll do for a quick take on what's happening. I don't see, you know, it's possible that the reality of the situation will cause Trump to cut and run. He's already scapegoating. He's already trying to pass the buck. He's already trying to wiggle out of it. But the reality of the situation is the reality for the Americans, for the Pentagon, for Pete Hegseth, for all these people is that it's just not in the remit of their choice. And also, you have to remember that Iran does not necessarily see Washington as its opposite number, but Netanyahu. They've got their eyes targeted on Israel. That's what they're thinking about. That's what kind of dominates all of the discourse, all of their, you know, if you look at the Ayatollah's old tweets, he just continually just calls it the Zionist regime. Okay. They have got their eyes squarely on that situation there. They want, and I think their aims are an end to American influence and meddling in the region and some sort of concession from Israel. You know, or free Palestine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm pretty sure that's where they're that's where all their rhetoric is headed. The Americans want to make it Iranian survival and so on. I mean, in the middle of that press conference, after that press conference, Trump made this insane Truth Social post where he was basically saying, we're going to hit Iran 20 times harder, threatening basically war crimes. I mean, literally, he was threatening civilian targets. Like, you know, it was a kind of insane Truth Social that he sent. And you know, the Iranian foreign minister, the kind of smooth talking one that everybody loves. I might even do a video on him because he's very good at his job, that guy. But he immediately just came out and said, look, bring it on. We're not scared. You can panic, you can flap, you can do what you want. Our position is clear. We're not going to change. You have set a course that you can't, you know, the die is cast, pretty much. That's what the Iranian line has been. And, you know, in the West, they're looking for any cracks, any signs that there's not moral unity in the leadership of the IRGC and of the regime and of the mullahs, okay? But the new Ayatollah, the foreign minister who does all the TV appearances, as well as that Mirandi guy who you see everywhere, the leader of the House of Speakers, that guy, this general Jamrani, I always say Jabroni because his name really seems like Jabroni, but every single one of them is on the same page. The only one who's slightly different is the president, right? But you've got to understand, like, within the politics of Iranian, you know, within, like, Iranian politics, this president, it's a little bit like you're having, like, Jeremy Corbyn there or something. And nothing he has to say really matters that much. And also, if you have a look at his statements, he's pretty much on board. Because the truth is that Iran is basically on an autopilot now. They have their plans are pre-laid. Okay, the military command structure is decentralized, and every single one of them know what the mission is, and this plan was written years ago. Okay, much like the American plans, according to Brian Beletic, were written years ago. The Iranian plans were written years ago too, and they're not going to deviate. They're on a whatever the mission is, they're ready for it. And again, you have to remember, they're not scared of dying. Martyrdom is the highest good for these people, so they're not going to stop. They're not going to get scared at all. That's what they're up against. What's going to happen? I don't know. It could end up in an absolute disaster for all concerned, which is usually what happens in massive wars of this nature, where everybody is a fanatic, because the Israelis are fanatical too. But if you have a look at it, their morale is not that good. There's quite a lot of dissension within Israel, huge criticism of Netanyahu. A lot of the reason that we know what's happening in Israel is because of people who aren't loyal to Netanyahu, people like basically Israeli leftists, okay? Netanyahu's control of the society is not so total that the word doesn't get out, okay? So that's how we're getting a lot of this stuff, whereas if you have a look at the footage in Iran, there's a lot more. I mean, the catastrophic error that they made was taking out the Ayatollah and making him a martyr, which basically took all the brakes off and hitting the girls' school. That, I mean, the significance of hitting that girls' school has acted as an absolute, I mean, you talk about Asabaya, what the Iranians are doing now is they're coming together, you know, and, you know, further strikes and bombings and so on only strengthens that. Whereas if you look at the Israelis, they are literally in a panic. They really are. And that is the bottom line of what's happening in this war. As things stand right now, anything could change in the next few days. Developing situation, but this is my quick and dirty take after Trump's extraordinarily mental speech from last night. Anyway, pick up Foundations of Shakespeare. I mean, who is Trump resembling more than anyone else at the minute? King Lear, maybe. King Lear. Reminds me a little bit of King Lear. Okay. Bye, everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.